This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Shope went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I'm taking a random picture, zoomed in, and there was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unbelievable, and the unattainable.
Johnny and Billy here. We talk about, strange topics. We don't mean strange as in disrespectful. We just, talk about them.
Unusual, paranormal.
Yeah, UFOs, Sasquatch.
Right. Not necessarily schizophrenic, but, you know.
But you are a therapist. You could deal with that, right?
I could. If you have those problems, but please don't call in.
So our guest today, Maureen Morgan, the MUFON state director, you're a friend of ours. You've been here to the UFO Paranormal Summit since we started, I think, right?
That's correct. That's 3 years running.
How have you been?
I have been on top of the world, thank you. Of course, all the work with the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, keeps me busy, but it's busy in a very good way. And I was appointed state director last June, and my predecessor, James Clarkson, who you know well, decided that it was time to move on. And I have to tell you that in this past year, Washington MUFON was awarded Chapter of the Year.
Wow.
So we must be doing
awesome.
Something right out here.
Wow, so, congratulations.
That was a huge honor, and believe me, when I went up at the, I attended the International MUFON Symposium in New Jersey last July, and believe me, when they called my name, I was thunderstruck. I thought, new directors don't normally get that award, so I'm still thunderstruck and pleased that we have an outstanding investigative team here.
So how does a person become an investigator for MUFON, or do they?
Well, yes. I mean, that's how we investigators, that's how I originally became an investigator, is that, if you have an interest in becoming a field investigator, you contact the state director. In this case, it's me. And let me know that you have an interest, something about your background, some reasons why you have an interest in ufology. You've been a pilot, that you're a psychic. I mean, in anything whatsoever. I mean, it's people across the board. I came into MUFON with a background in communication studies and the media and that sort of stuff that had nothing to do with law enforcement, the military, science, and yet clearly there's a place for somebody with all of these backgrounds, expertises, experiences that wouldn't normally seem like what would be appropriate, but almost anything is. So you get a hold of the state director, and the information is online. You just go to the Facebook site, Washington MUFON, the Facebook site, and get in contact with me, and then I go through the process with you that, you need to order the certification, the field investigator certification manual, and that can all be done online. and then you study everything that's in this rather intimidating, like, inch-thick manual. And then once you feel that you are ready to take the exam, I will personally work with you, you know, whether it's mentoring you with the material or the actual taking of the exam, because I'd like to see as many people certified as possible so that our team of about 12 investigators don't get overloaded with cases.
Yeah.
You know, and that they can spend more time on individual cases rather than dealing with four or five cases all at one time. Some investigators get overloaded for the simple fact that they're the only person in an area.
Mm.
You know, and so I generally assign cases either due to their expertise or more usually it's to the area they're in. So we get a lot of cases up, say, in Whatcom County, of all places.
Hmm.
And Tim Ward, our assistant state director, I mean, he probably has a half a dozen cases a month. And a lot of them, for some odd reason or another, deal with triangles.
Wow.
So we don't know for sure whether it's because he's out there beating the drum about MUFON or whether there's just a lot of stuff up there.
Wow.
A lot of cases tend also to occur around bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Whatcom County, around the Lummi Reservation, you know, there's a lot of water up there. The area down around you guys, around Grays Harbor, that whole area gets a lot of cases. The area around Vancouver gets a lot of cases. So anyway, I would welcome anybody to get in touch with me at the Washington MUFON Facebook site. Send me an email. We can talk, and I would love to get you started on the process. It's the most fun thing you will ever do in your life. And if you ever want to go down the rabbit hole, this is a Jim Dandy way of doing it.
Experiencer groups. Don't you do a monthly meeting, UFO meeting?
I live in Port Townsend. We have a monthly Olympic UFO group, which is also a monthly MUFON meetup. And we cover different topics. You know, it can be crop circles. It can be abductions. It could be UFOs in the media. It could be, and I try to get a presenter as often as possible. And if I don't, then I end up doing a presentation myself. But I also invite people over to my house afterwards, which is just a few blocks from the venue. And I think we probably get 25 to 45 people who attend every month. And I think one of the reasons why they come is because the sort of like after party is so much fun. And that's where the experiencers get together and they talk to each other in, you know, like semi-private groups and whatever. That's where you hear the really weird stuff. I mean, the things that I have heard in my living room are weirder than anything I have ever heard through MUFON or at conferences or anything else. That's where the people come out and actually talk about the things that they would never talk about anywhere else. So, yes, so I do hold a monthly group. If anybody's interested and are near Port Townsend, it's this Saturday, 1 to 3, at the Friends Meeting House, and you can contact me at MUFON.investigates. At gmail.com if you want some more information about it. So, anyway, and also I am on MUFON's Experiencer Research Team, which is a separate arm of MUFON. Say the larger part of MUFON investigates UFO sightings, the nuts and bolts types of things.
Yeah.
And then they also have a separate group that's headed by Kathleen Martin, who's the niece of Betty and Barney Hill of the 1960s abduction renown. And people can contact if they believe or suspect they maybe have had close contact, an abduction, missing time, anything like that. They can submit a questionnaire, which is found on MUFON's homepage. And fill out the questionnaire with their information and request that they speak to someone on the team about their experiences. So I'm also on the Experiencer Research Team. And in this regard, I think Washington MUFON is right on the cutting edge because it's the only state, well, I guess there's another state, Florida, has a someone who's also on the Experiencer Research Team. But for the most part, Washington's really on the cutting edge because we take the experience of reports very seriously. And many states do not. I mean, there's a lot of people in ufology who still think, who still believe it's all the nuts and bolts. And I happen to be probably a renegade in that I believe that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Between MUFON, the National UFO Reporting Center, and other agencies, you know, there's well over 100,000 UFO sighting reports. And do we know anything more? Or, you know, it's like we don't learn anything from these sighting reports. But every time I pick up the phone to talk to one of these experiencers, it's like I have to sort of brace myself to be blown out of my chair. And often afterwards go down and pour myself a nice glass of wine to chill, because you hear the most extraordinary stories from people who in every way sound totally credible. And this, I believe, is where the importance of the whole the ufology, this is the direction it's going in. It's where the experience, what the experiencers are experiencing. That's where we're going to gain information about what's going on.
How do you weed out the sincere sightings, experiences, abductions from the not sincere, the bored, the liars, the...
Attention-seeking.
Attention-seekers.
Well, it's surprising how few there are. You know, they give a lot of personal information. They know we're going to contact them. And I think most of us on the experiencer research team have dealt with enough of these people where we can pick up the crazies almost instantly.
Mm.
It's like people who are, say, schizophrenic are, you know, they're not seeking the reason why they're hearing voices in their head or why beings appeared in their rooms. You know, these are people who are trying to explain, understand what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And often they are visibly shaken. You can hear the fear in their voices. And they'll tell me that, you know, it took them months to build up the courage to make this first inroad of, submitting that questionnaire. And they haven't talked to anybody for decades. You know, the event may have happened, 3 decades ago, and this is the first time they've talked about it.
Wow.
And frankly, when I hear grown men cry, you know good and well, they're recounting something that was so deeply disturbing that, they simply wouldn't be making something up, and you can hear their voices trembling. You can hear the fear in their voices. And it's, I have a few recent cases that I can talk about that you might find interesting at some point.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And it's very easy for us to weed out the hoaxers. And we always ask, you know, have you had an issue with drugs? You know, are you currently taking any medications? Have you had a diagnosis of whatever? So we put that down as additional information. And, we also ask, what's your nationality? You know, where do your people come from? Do you know your blood type?
Mm-hmm.
Have family members, other family members, experienced anything unusual? So it's, we try to bring up as many questions as possible to try to weed out anybody who may be a crazy. And believe me, I've had a few, but that's a very small percentage of the people we talk to. Most of them are so grateful to have somebody to talk to who they know is not rolling their eyes and who treats it very respectfully.
Why do you think these experiences are so frightening?
Well, for instance, within just the last 6 weeks or so, I've had 3 gentlemen, and I won't give any locations or anything like that, who were all between, say, the ages of 55 and, say, 65, who came from totally different areas, clearly did not know each other, came from very different backgrounds. One came from the military, who all... two of them contacted me directly from the Facebook site, and one came through the experiencer research team connections. But they all were experiencing uninvited visitations into their bedrooms at night. And these were all, they were so terrifying, and somehow terrifying at a cellular level because they don't know why it's terrifying, but all three of them were going to bed with baseball bats and shotguns. And because they never knew when something was going to be appearing in their bedrooms. And when you get these three different men from three different areas, three different backgrounds, who all report going to bed with this sense of terror, impending terror, and one reported seeing a tall insectoid being with a diamond-shaped head. And it was so tall, you know, and again, all three of these gentlemen would leave their bedroom doors open so there was a backlight. I do this as well, because there's no way I'm going to go to bed without being able to see it out the door and into the hallway. But anyway, so all three were seeing these strange entities backlit in their doorways. And this first one I mentioned, and it was a being that was clearly more than 8 foot tall because he ducked to come under the doorway. This gentleman leaped out of bed, grabbed the baseball bat, and he uses a CPAP, dragging his CPAP machine and his mask with him. And he also had, he reported having at one time worked as a security guard at a school, which I will not identify. And he went to work one night after having worked there for a considerable amount of time and noticed that there was a two-story brick building behind the school, like the student parking lot, that he had never noticed there before. You know, so he walked over and inside, and there were these, and of course he's got his clipboard because, you know, he's checking off, you know, windows locked, furnace off, on and on and on. He walks into this building, and there are these, like, three people with their clipboards and all these big screens on the walls with images of what looked like the United States, but it looked like those AT&T cell tower maps where they had all these dots all over the map with this great big red dot right over his location. Anyway, you know, he said it was so unnerving that he simply fled. The next day, of course, he goes there and there's no sign that a building had ever been there.
Whoa.
I mean, there was no marks, no nothing. And this gentleman has contacted me several times since and said that, you know, any time I would like to come over and be shown the spot, you know, where he saw this. And again, you know, we always go with other people. You know, we never do anything like this alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if I wanted to come over and be shown where exactly where he experienced this, that he would go out of his way, because he now lives quite a distance from there, to come up, we could meet, and he would show me where this thing was that he experienced. And again, you know, somebody I would consider to be highly credible. In another case, it was, these are all recent incidents. You know, many of these stories I hear go back decades. These are all incidents that have happened, say, within the past year. So the next one was reported by a gentleman who had been in the military, and again, he went to bed with a hunting knife, shotgun, and a baseball bat, and he woke up to find what appeared to be another insect, but this time it was like a centipede, something that had like a cylindrical body with lots of arms coming off of it, and again, had this instant terrified reaction, like somehow at a cellular body, he knows this is not good, and jumped up, grabbed the baseball bat, and then chases this thing down the hallway, of course, and it just disappears around a corner or whatever. And then the last one was same circumstances. Somebody wakes up and finds these hooded beings the room is dark. He can see that they've got hoods on, but he can't see what they look like under these hooded garments. And he can hear something to the effect that he's awake, let's do this fast. And then again, you know, these men, and it's remarkable how many men are being affected by this. And I think, golly, one was African-American, the other two were Caucasian. So it's these are the things This, the reason that I am so involved in ufology today, because I believe the experiencer aspect of it is where it's at. That's where we're going to get the information we need to figure out what's going on. When I assign cases, because all the cases in Washington State come to me, and then I assign them, again, according to background, location, but also if any case that comes in that is suggestive of being an experiencer case, then I either assign it to myself or another person who's on the team, who's also a field investigator, who's also on the experiencer research team. So Washington State has two people on the experiencer research team. And then I instruct them that when they interview, because we always, we contact, when someone submits a sighting report, we arrange to contact them, and if they like, a telephone interview. And during that interview, if it sounds like the witness is an experiencer, then they recommend that the experiencer contact me. They also contact me, and then I proceed with the experiencer end of it, you know, while the field investigator is taking care of whatever the sighting report might have been. And what we have found is that many of the sighting reports are their initial inroads into talking about what's really important. You know, so they make a report about, you know, some kind of light in the sky in order to contact somebody where they can talk about these other things. So, yeah, we have to be very careful because not all field investigators have the communication skills. Some of them aren't even very empathetic about it. They, you know, they question whether it really exists or not, and it could do a great deal of damage, you know, if, you know, they either in one way or another either dismiss it or find themselves inadvertently leading the witnesses on. So it's a, yeah, it's an area where you really need to have both some expertise in interviewing these people and an empathy for what they may have experienced.
With all of the information in your research and your passions for ufology, what do you think they're doing? What do you think these beings are up to?
Well, for one thing, I passionately believe that UFOs are real and that we are being visited, and we've probably always been visited, that we're very likely GMOs, genetically modified organisms, for whatever reason, that the Earth could very well have been terraformed. And it's a good question, because a lot of the experiencers that I deal with also have either, you know, like snippets, like snapshots of memories of an abduction in which they have been on the craft, where, you know, they believe that they have, oh, you can't believe how many women have had really strange pregnancies. You know, pregnancies after they've had like a tubal ligation or a hysterectomy, or having a pregnancy when they weren't having sex, or missing a pregnancy. You know, they're pregnant 1 month, and the next month there's no sign that it ever existed. And there's so many reports that suggest a reproductive aspect of this, that that really brings in a complicating factor. You know, that, you know, and I, it would be pure speculation on my part as to what's going on. You know, whether this is for our benefit or not, you know, what their agenda is. But there certainly appears to be a reproductive aspect to this whole abduction phenomenon.
Well, we're talking with UFO researcher, MUFON State Director Maureen Morgan. Coming up, we'll lay the deep questions on her.
Right? Yeah.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Alien, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor where, well, we talk about strange things, and on the phone with us, MUFON State Director Maureen Morgan.
So, you have maybe some unique perspectives on life and the way things happen. Aside from your position at MUFON, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I would gladly do so because this is the area that I'm finding myself increasingly interested in. And at this point, I really do have to separate me, Maureen Morgan, from MUFON because I'd really like to speak for myself and not for the organization. And it's the issue that I find fascinating right now is, well, what would happen after disclosure? You know, whether it's a disclosure initiated by the government or governments or the ETs themselves. And there's so many ramifications to this that is just truly mind-boggling. And I think it's an area that isn't getting enough discussion. You know, a lot of people are clamoring for disclosure, you know, tell us that they really exist, blah, blah, if they do. And I don't think a lot of thought is given to what would happen if that happened.
What do you think would happen?
Well, first of all, you know, there are those who, I suppose like Stephen Greer, who believes that this is all, you know, whatever the presence is, it's all wonderful. You know, they're here for benevolent reasons. And then there are others like Tom DeLonge of the Two Stars Academy or David Jacobs, who does a lot of abduction regressions and things like that, who feel it's very evil. So, I mean, you have the spectrums from, well, they're good, they're evil. The fact of the matter is that we haven't a clue what their agenda could be. And, it's on the one hand, I really dislike the idea that there are certain groups of people who may have information about that that's being withheld from the public in general for a number of reasons. And some of them are possibly, you know, legitimate, and some of them I think are very self-serving. And I think for the most part, because there's been so much dismissal of the reality of UFOs, that I think if suddenly, you know, whether President Trump came out on the White House lawn and said, yes, they're real, we're being visited, blah, 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 you know, and the UFOs showed up in the sky, to a certain extent, there would be this, it would be incredulous because, you know, have they been lying to us? Because they would have to admit they've been lying to us for the last 70 years and say not only do they not exist, but they don't present, I mean, they don't present any kind of threat to a national security threat. And I think not only would there be this, like a number of people who would be calling this a false flag, but it would also, I think, cause a mass shock and a worldwide panic. I mean, what if you had everything you believed in, your religious beliefs, your cultural beliefs, everything you knew to be true, to be suddenly told it wasn't true? And it's, it really goes in deep. It's one thing if you simply are being told that UFOs exist. We have been visited and may have been visited, you know, for millennia. And that ETs are here. It'd be quite another thing if you found out that, well, people are being abducted, and perhaps we're even in the process of being replaced. And not only that, but they may be walking among us. You know, they may be one frequency or one resonance away from us. And because of our religious beliefs, you know, I'm not sure a lot of people would be able to cope with the idea that the God who their creator, you know, may have an alien face. And it's that everything that they believed has no basis. And some people, I think, could handle it, but I don't think the powers that be have done the people worldwide any favors by dismissing this for the past 70 years rather than helping us to adapt to the truth, if this is indeed the truth.
If you really stop and think about it, you know, if this entity had that much power over our lives, why is there so much negativity in our lives? You know, why do we have so much violence and children get abused and all that if this was all benevolent? There has to be another explanation of God other than the one we've learned to trust.
Well, you know, it could very well be that whoever it is that the others, whoever they may be like us. You have the good, bad, and you have the ugly. And it could very well be that we not only are well, it, and we could have been genetically manipulated in such a way that, first of all, you know, there could be different groups, civilization, species, who are manipulating us. And I'll tell you right now, there's some really evil, nasty stuff going on at a human level, and you just have to wonder, is it entirely human, or are there elements or forces behind them that's causing it? For instance, you know, we are basically pillaging the earth, and we're trashing the earth. You know, are there groups of people who already know, you know, that they're moving on? It doesn't matter if they leave a burned-out hulk behind, because they've got other places to go. And just and there's just so, I mean, you it would be hard to even get a handle on all the all the ways in which our cultures worldwide are negative. And it's you just have to wonder if there isn't an agenda behind it. And it's everything is so complex that anybody who thinks they can get a handle on it, and anybody who thinks they've got the truth is deluding themselves, because it's like an onion. As soon as you think you've got one layer off, you know, there's 20 underneath.
Right.
That get you know, denser and denser and denser. And the aliens themselves, these others, whoever they may be a big part of this by you know, that they're covering, they're present, they're a big part of the non-disclosure, they're a part of the confusion, and you know, they may be our masters, you know. And you have to think, again, it's one thing if people learn that we're being visited, UFOs are real, but what if we find out that we are somebody's property, and we are basically cattle in the field, you know, we're being harvested for genetic material, for our souls, I mean, anything. I mean, just, we could be enslaved by some, you know, some evil race, species, or whatever, doing their dirty work. And what if you find out, you know, and again, there's a certain amount of evidence for all of these, but what if we find out that we're computer generated? We don't even exist. What if we find, you know, that, and that some, a pimply teenager in another dimension is hitting that keyboard, and, well, let's see what would happen if we put somebody like Hitler on the scene. And bam, 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 all these things happen. And then we basically have no control over it. We're basically pawns on a chessboard.
We're an experiment.
Or find out we're holograms. We're nothing more than illusions. And again, there's a lot of evidence that all of these things could be true. These are the aspects that I find so difficult for people to wrap their heads around. You know, if it were nothing more than UFOs are real and we're being visited, that's a whole different thing. But you have to start looking at, you know, the total collapse of belief systems. And although, you know, some people may hang on to their religious beliefs now, what about their children and grandchildren? And it's, there are, I don't know, so... There are so many manifestations of disclosure that I can't see it happening. You know, because if the powers that be, whoever they may be, who may be withholding this information, and they know what's going on, how do they even come out with it? And they may very well be using it. You know, there's trillions of dollars that go missing in the defense budget, you know, trillions going into black ops and whatever. And what's that for? You know, just on the one hand, we're told that these entities are no threats, and on the other hand, you have President Trump coming out and declaring that space is a war-fighting domain. And I think, you know, is that so? More trillions can be spent, you know, by the military-industrial complex, or is that to enable them to reveal all the stuff that's already been developed, and they're now looking for an opportunity to bring it out and expose it, like stealth bombers? It's this whole thing is so convoluted and so complex, and I just believe that, you know, if in even a shadow of the truth came out, it could lead in, you know, a Mad Max kind of scenario. And it's, no matter what, it's not a pretty picture having the truth withheld, but I don't think revealing the truth, even in small bits, it could be equally as devastating.
I started a post for my website yesterday, and it's titled, Welcome to Planet Earth. It's kind of like a hypothetical, what if this advanced race stumbles upon our planet, or returns, or just shows up and observes the inhabitants, observes all of us, and how we act, and the things that they see, whether it's how we politically disagree, and the war, and the theft, and the resource mismanagement, and just everything that we do on planet Earth, what would they think of us?
Well, I would think, for one thing, it would justify a reproduction program. You know, that there have been, with these, you know, the abductees, and I've talked to a lot, both in my personal life and through MUFON, and it certainly is suggestive that we may be in the process of being replaced. And it could well be that what these others can see is that we're in the process of self-destruction. You know, by destroying the Earth, our very environment, which could be a biological seed bank, universal. You have no idea how valuable the Earth may be to these others as just a biological treasure trove, for one thing. And if they see that being destroyed, if they see that we're on the verge of destroying ourselves, they may very find it necessary to basically replace us. I mean, it's a possibility. It's not, when you look at, golly, in the 20th century, some 200 million people were slaughtered, whether in wars, you know, in Stalinist Russia, Cambodia, Rwanda. I mean, this is not, the planet right now, it's not a very pretty picture.
Sure.
And if these beings, whoever they are, these others, are looking down on us, they may not see a lot of hope for our or the Earth's survival.
If they have that much power over us, why not just make us behave more appropriately?
It could very well be that prime directive thing that, you know, that became evident in, you know, Star Wars. And it could very well be, you know, there was a reason why that concept even came about. It may very well be that we learn or we stew in our own juices. So, and there have been enough incidents at nuclear facilities where UFOs have appeared over bases like Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, where they have shut down a whole series of nuclear missiles that were all separate, and would turn them off, bam, 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 and then turn them back on. That and this has happened all over the world, not just there. You know that this could very well be a warning that you know, stop playing with these destructive toys. And it's you know, and of course, the way these others may look at it is, my God, wake up. Don't you see that you're going to destroy yourself and the Earth with it?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our military could very well see it as an act of aggression. You know, we've got to, you know, these people are invading our airspace, and you have to think, too, what if whoever they are, are in a position to basically shut down our weapons around the world, and there's nothing we can do about it? There's nothing we can do to protect our airspace. There's nothing we can do to protect our citizens from these abduction events. I mean, think about the paranoia within, said the powers that be, if they are not in control. You could go on for hours and hours just discussing the, you know, the onion. Forget about the truth. Just trying to make sense of it. And in a lot of ways, what I value most about becoming involved with ufology, and this is something that's relatively new to me, say within the past 10 years, is that it encourages you to look in every field, whether it's philosophy, religion, geology, genetics, you know, social structures, anthropology, paleontology. I mean, you have to look everywhere for the answers. So I think most ufologists probably have a broader basis of information than probably just about any other field, because you need it in order to understand or even begin to understand what may be going on.
How do you think people would feel if we found out we're just a petri dish?
Chaos. I mean, it would be, you know, there's so many ways to look at that. I mean, even someone like myself who mulls over that, you know, who's, I don't know how I would react. But if somebody were to find out that there's nothing more than an amoeba that's being played with, I think it would be because of our, because we have had, particularly, I think in the, like the Christian world, the Western world, this emphasis on we are so special. We're the top of the heap. We're alone in the universe. We're the only intelligence. To find out that not only are we not only the only intelligence, but we may be considered an amoeba to somebody else, and that they could stomp us out anytime they wanted to, I think it would be absolutely emotionally, mentally, and always devastating. And we're almost, it's almost like we're set up to fail because of that. Because there is so little leeway to look at other ways. So I think it would be absolutely devastating.
Or how about Professor Michio Kaku? He says that we would just be like an anthill to them. How much time and how much focus do we put on an anthill when we're walking down the street? We just kind of...
None. And it's the same thing. You know, you have to look at cattle out in the field. You know, the farmer, you know, it makes takes very careful attention, pays very careful attention to the cow's genetics. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's, you know, big and plump and tender and juicy and all that. And it gets the finest grass, and it gets the finest grain, and it's housed in the wintertime, and it gets veterinary care, you know, when it's sick, blah, 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 and then it gets loaded up in that truck and hauled off to the slaughterhouse. You know, it's, you know, these are all possibilities. I think in a lot of ways our religious and cultural beliefs have put us in a no-win situation where there's no leeway into thinking we're anything other than the top of the heap. And what if we find out that, my God, there's civilizations that have been out there not only for billions of years, but maybe coming from other dimensions that are trillions of years old? I mean, we just, in a lot of ways, I think we've been put in a, like a cultural, mental straitjacket. Well, and one of the issues that bothers me most, too, is if indeed UFOs have been visiting us, and either they have retrieved super technology from crashed or shot down craft, or have been given technology by certain groups for whatever reason, it's like invariably it gets weaponized first. You know, that this super technology, this information is not coming to enlighten people. You know, so it's going to develop bigger and more invincible, more invasive weaponry. And I believe that this is also true with the research that's being done with experiencers. And clearly, the military has had an intense interest in those people who suspect or, you know, that may have had contact with either the material or with the craft themselves, you know, that it's, well, how can we weaponize this consciousness? Because it's all about consciousness. How can we weaponize it? In a lot of ways, I really fear for experience, the vulnerability of experiencers. And I always tell them, don't talk to anybody. I mean, don't let anybody put you, don't get on YouTube, don't let anybody interview you and put it on YouTube, anything like that, because then you become fair game to be basically renditioned, you know, to be probed, examined in very invasive ways because you have information that can potentially be weaponized. And I think that's what it's all about, is how can we beat out our enemies by weaponizing whatever we can get our hands on. And it's like whatever we're getting from this contact is not going for the benefits of humanity, because when you think about it, you know, there's a couple of billion people who are just above starvation. You know, they're in no way, you know, they still live basically in a Stone Age existence in many ways, in abject poverty. And the trillions are disappearing into these black budgets, and it seems like none of this super technology is ever coming back to benefit humanity itself. And this really bothers me. It's like, it's almost like you have this reptilian mentality or whatever who's governing how the powers that be here deal with whatever it is that, you know, that they discover. It ain't a pretty picture.
If we were to let go of all of our fear, and we're very fear-based beings, do you think we would have a different perception of these alien beings?
I would have to think it would be, we'd have to, you know, could we ever figure out what their true agenda is? I mean, they may tell us one thing, or they may indicate one thing, and have something entirely different.
You mean they're politicians?
And think about this. You know, when Lewis and Clark was exploring the great western frontier, when they would encounter, you know, the Native Americans, they came off as, you know, very friendly, you know, exchange, you know, trade beats, this and that. Their initial contact might have been very friendly, opening and whatever. What happens afterwards? You know, you open the door and a floodgate of basically an invasion happens, which was definitely not to the advantage of the Native Americans. You know, could that be what happens here? They come off initially as, yeah, we're your friends. You open the door and the floodgate opens. You know, there's so much we just don't know. And again, anybody who professes to have the truth is deluding themselves. I doubt if there's anybody even, you know, in the government, in the black state, whoever, the powers that be, who have a handle on what's really happening. And they may be as manipulated as anyone else.
You hear reports like they've integrated with society and they live amongst us, or they're politicians now that are alien or reptilian. What do you think of all that stuff?
When I see what's going on, I mean, there are so many people who have reported really strange things, like masseuses who, while doing a massage, or somebody practicing Reiki on a client, who'll talk about, you know, it seems like they get to a certain vibration or a resonance in their practice, and these beings will come out of the bodies of the clients on the table. You know, and there have been a number of reports. And Linda Moulton Howe, who's, you know, a highly regarded UFO scientific researcher, has had a number of these reports that have come. And people who appear, you know, reputable reports of people who seem to shapeshift. They could very well be, you know, just, they could be, again, in the room a resonance away, a frequency away. And I grew up with a family ghost, you know, so that, you know, I was probably primed to be open to UFOs because I knew strange things happen that society as a whole denied was happening, but we all, one time or another, experienced this shrouded figure gliding up grandma's stairwell. And it's, does it even, perhaps it perceives us as a ghost from its side. You know, it's, is this ghost there all the time? Sometimes we can pick it up, you know, if the resonance is right, other times we can't. But you have to wonder if there's a shadow world like one frequency away that's there all around us, and we sometimes get glimpses of it, but for the most part, it's like it's behind a curtain. You know, they could be all around us. They could be in us. We could be them.
Maybe we are them.
I would say that's a possibility that has to be considered. And it's at some point, you know, so many of the experiencers have told these stories of basically getting downloads of information. It's almost like they're being primed for the switch, being switched on. And you just have to wonder, you know, if there isn't a great number of people, if not all people, but at least a great number of people who have been pre-programmed to be or to somehow transform at the flip of a switch. It's very provocative to think about, but you can't eliminate that possibility. There are so many reports of experiencers, you know, whether they're actual beings in the rooms or getting downloads one way or another. Is it missing time? There are so many events of high strangeness that people report that you can't just dismiss these. So it's, God, the world is so wonderfully weird. It'd be boring if it wasn't weird.
What would you like to see out of ufology, the world, and their view of UFO sightings, abductions? What would you like to see?
I would just like to see more of the truth come out. You know, the powers that be, and I don't think the governments, I mean, I believe that there are powers beyond powers beyond powers. You know, it's not the 1%, it's the 0.0001% that basically control everything behind there. And, you know, that you know, the media, and I totally believe that the media is under the CIA control, mainstream media, and this was something that Carl Bernstein revealed, you know, in a seminal article in the 1977, where he talked about how the CIA pretty much had complete control of the mainstream media. You know, get the media to open up and be more truthful, you know, to start preparing people for what may be the inevitable. You know, that, you know, and there are many people in ufology who believe this is a cusp time, you know, that disclosure will come. You know, maybe tomorrow, 20 years from now, but it will come. And unfortunately, most people on Earth are totally unprepared to have their belief systems undermined. And they're given nothing else to lean on. Once those belief systems are undermined, they got nothing. I mean, it could be a real nasty situation. For instance, if you find out that the, you know, hybrids or hybrids are among us, you're going to find that not only is there going to be like mandatory genetic testing to figure out, you know, who's one of these people, and will they be rounded up and shot on the spot, or will you have renegade groups, vigilantes out there hunting down hybrids? I mean, it opens, unless the people, the citizens of the world, are given information that they can build on in a positive way, it could be very, very ugly. Frankly, I don't see that happening. And it's tragic because it has to be done. We have to have more open information about what appears to be happening around us. And it's, in fact, we're focused on Kardashian's butt, and the things that are really important are, you know, just totally minimized. To answer the question, we need rapid disclosure in a way that people can assimilate it as fast as possible, so if it does happen, they're not going to be deer in headlights.
When we get the truth, or we get information that is contrary to our beliefs, or even just information that we don't like, we become self-destructive. So do you think that if we knew the truth about aliens or UFOs or any of the things that are strange and paranormal, do you think we would just destroy ourselves over it?
That's a distinct possibility. See, there are some cultures like Indians, where they have a millennia-old culture where they recorded interactions with the others, you know, the Vermanas, you know, spaceships, wars between, you know, competing and species up there. They could probably handle it just fine. There are certain cultures on Earth, maybe the indigenous peoples could simply take it, you know, just, well, we've always known this, duh. But I think there's just, a lot of beliefs, you know, cultural beliefs, religious beliefs, where, it's not a pretty picture, because these people will be left without a foundation.
Governments use fear to control people.
As do religions.
And religions do as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we could let go of that fear, I mean, if we could just be completely free of fear and paranoia and worry, I think we would see this relationship with the others, with the other people of the universe, with the other beings of the universe, in a vastly different way. I've had some personal experience with being in the universe and seeing other forms of life. And in many of these forms of life, there is no fear. They're not fear-driven. What do you think would happen if we could just let go of all that fear and have a relationship with the rest of the universe?
Do you have any suggestions on how that's going to happen?
I think it's a personal choice. I think we have
but
to personally choose to let go.
Because they have no information.
Well, that's
where
true.
Do most people, you know, most people, if it's not in the media, it doesn't exist.
Or on Facebook.
Or on Facebook, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So where do they even get the information?
Books.
To reframe how they look at the world? You know, it's not there, and they're constantly being reinforced, whether it's by their governments, say Trump even saying recently that space is a war-fighting domain. It's like we're taking our conflicts from here up there. You know, if we were to go to Mars, do you think we wouldn't have atomic wars there? And I always think about, you know, all these supposedly bigwigs, you know, who have their underground bunkers. Do you think they're not going to be in conflict with each other? You know, that I just don't know by what process, unless we are indeed being in the process of being genetic, some of us being genetically modified in such a way that this is behind us. And it may be, you know, like the whole concept of a paradigm shift. Our belief systems don't change until those people who believe in them die off because they're so embedded. So, I just don't think, unless you can come up with some way for these old entrenched beliefs to go by the wayside, I don't know how fear is ever going to be changed.
How do I contact you? Let's say I've had a sighting or an experience.
Well, if you have a sighting, and believe me, there are so many sightings that go unreported, and I would suspect that we probably get one report for every 100 or more, but I don't have no idea how many sightings take place because they aren't being reported. The single best place to start would be at the MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, website. And that way, you know, you put down the information, and then it gets sent to the states where it originated. So all the Washington sightings then basically come to me, and then they're, assigned to a team of certified field investigators. And believe me, if you, the exam is pretty rigorous. And the other option would be to go to the Washington MUFON Facebook site or contact me directly at MUFON, MUFON.investigates@gmail.com. And you can report a sighting to me. You can ask, you know, to speak to me about an experience that you've had. And it's always confidential. I mean, it's confidential as the telephones and internet and whatever are, but on this end, it's confidential. And, you know, if you're interested in the meetup in Port Townsend, and again, contact me at mufon.investigates@gmail.com, and I can get you that information.
Would you be interested in coming back as a guest on Strange Harbor?
Sure, anytime.
Well, you have so much information. I mean, we could probably talk to you every day for a year and not tap all the information that you have.
Well, again, you know, that whole area of ufology leads you to, you know, sort of like delving into so many separate areas. You know, that, it's fascinating. It's like there's nothing out there, no area of science, no area of philosophy, religion, anything that doesn't in one way come to play in this field. And it's, the area that I'm really kind of concentrating on now is that, you know, if we did have disclosure, what's really going to take place? And it's, it's so multifaceted as to be mind-blowing.
And I hope you will come back and participate in the UFO Paranormal Summit.
It would be my honor to return.
That'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to contact us and yell at Bill for his New Age hooey, listen to back episodes, subscribe to our iTunes, all that good junk, log on to strangeharbor.net.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.